Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Truly, God is great and greatly to be praised. We thank you for today. This is the Prospering Soul, and we are thankful to be on the line, on the air today, and ready to wrap up this session about water baptism. We got a little bit on last week. We got on track about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and so we are just thankful just to be back online today and getting ready to go talk, kind of just give an overview of what we've been talking about in this particular series. Of course, all of this is a part of the foundational series that we've been teaching for some time, just trying to help people to build a firm foundation in which they can stand on, and that the Lord can bless them to be saved. We remember how it was when we were coming up, and the word, how the word was preached to us and how the word was taught to us. And it caused us to have a foundation that caused us to be able to stand throughout our life. And the Bible always tells us when we've done all to stand therefore. And so we're just thankful to be on the line today, and we're going to continue to talk about baptism. We thank God for each and every person, every elder, every minister, every pastor that calls in and helps us on this broadcast. I'm just so greatly appreciative and so humbled that they take the time out of their day on Sunday, because, you know, we have everybody has services to attend and everything, but they take the time out of their day on Sunday evenings to come and be able to teach the word of God so that someone will be blessed, somebody's soul will be saved, somebody will be delivered, and someone will be strengthened by the word of God. Because our prayer is always that the word of God will fall on good ground, and that it will, the Bible says that Paul planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So we know that we're planting or watering at any time to the believers, but we know that God is going to give an increase. So we're so thankful about that. And we're going to continue on. I see my teachers and trainers, they're all on the line, and so I'm so thankful for them. They've been doing an awesome job, these men of God, and, of course, the women of God that are on here that participate. They've all been doing an awesome job, and I'm just so thankful for their lives and for their contribution to this ministry, and I'm so thankful for that. But we're going to pray right now, and then we're going to turn it over to them to continue on, and we have some questions that I have that we're going to answer. We're going to talk about a couple of things and just excited about today. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you today for you are wonderful, you're awesome, you're great. And we thank you, Lord, just for being God. We thank you for creating us and that you gifted us and you formed us for your purpose and for our destiny that you have set before us. And, Lord, we thank you, thankful that we're walking in that direction. Lord, you said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And, Lord, we thank you for ordering our steps today. Father, we thank you, Lord, that as the word of God goes out today, that it will fall on good ground. And those that hear it will be blessed. We thank you for all of those that will be calling in and all of those that will be listening in over the internet and those that will even listen to the archive later, that the word will richly bless them. And that because you said your word would not return unto you void, but it will do what it is set out to do. It will reach the places that it's supposed to reach, and it'll do the things it's supposed to do. And, Lord, we thank you for that. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are blessing each and every one of us. You got us covered under your blood. We're walking up under the blood. We're in the secret place of the Most High. Thank you today, God. So, Lord, we ask you to bless that this broadcast would reach each and every person that needs it, God, that needs this word, Lord, to build that foundation in their lives that will help them to stand throughout their life, God. So we thank you today, and we glorify and we magnify your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Amen.
God bless you.
So we're so thankful. We're going to... I was thinking today, I kept reading on, I sent some notes out, but I know, I don't know if you all were able to get them or anything. But anyway, there's a couple of questions that I've ran across today, and I was just going to ask them. But I would love for Elder Dodson, for Elder Poston, just to kind of give us a summary and an overview of what they've been teaching, and then we can get into these questions and things later. And then we will begin to move forward from this and on to our next topic. And then we'll come back, circle back, and we're going to talk about the Holy Ghost and being filled with the Holy Ghost. We're going to talk about that, but we're going to teach a different series, a whole series on that, and that's going to be a powerful series, so you won't want to miss it. But we want them to come in and just kind of give us an overview. And however this takes us, we're going to let the Lord lead us and let him guide us. And wherever it takes us, we're just going to go with it and be blessed of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. This is Elder Poston. What Elder Blasen has just touched on, what we've been talking on, Elder Dodson can jump in here whenever. He feels the need. But we've been talking about baptism over the last few weeks. But just to kind of give an overview, if this is the first time you've ever listened into what things you've been talking or teaching about, our whole goal with the series that we're teaching is to enable us to be able to teach new converts and new Christians and new believers to build a foundation. And just as when you build a house, the most critical part is often the part that you don't often see when you drive to different neighborhoods and things like that is the foundation, because if the foundation is not sure, steady, strong, then all the beautiful things that you see from on top of that, we'll eventually have problems and won't be able to stand. So just in our personal experiences, in my personal experience, it was always critical to make sure we had a strong basis and a strong foundation for what we believe. And you know, baptism is a part of it. We talked about what is baptism, what does it mean. There are different denominations and different beliefs or different doctrines that teach various different things about baptism, but we're coming from a Christian standpoint and a Christian point of view on baptism. And so in earlier lessons, in earlier calls, we talked about, you know, what is baptism? And some of the things that we talked about were baptism being immersed in water, kneeling in water, standing or sitting in water, when somebody lowers you under water and brings you back up above water, what does that mean? What does it represent? Is baptism absolutely necessary? And so from our particular standpoint, our particular belief, it is necessary. We believe in being immersed in water, and what that represents from our particular belief is that we are doing what Christ did for us and symbolizing that his death, burial, and resurrection. So when we go underwater, it is like we're being baptized or being buried with Christ and coming up. The old man is going down and the new man is coming up. But that is the symbolism of what Jesus did when John baptized him. And then we went on a little further and talked about the two different ways that they are to be baptized. And I shared a little bit on one of our series about my own personal experience of how God brought me into the revelation of what he was actually saying in his word in regards to being baptized, because we have two major denominations or church organizations that we would say are Pentecostal organizations that baptize differently. And when I say baptize differently, the process or the procedure as far as being immersed in water is pretty much the same, but what is spoken over you and what is said at the time that you're baptized is different, and each organization is based on two different scriptures to back up the way they do it. And the Bible tells us that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and in Matthew we see that there is Jesus telling disciples to go into all the world baptizing men, women, making them disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then we touched on Acts, which says that you should be baptized in the name of Jesus. And that has been an ongoing debate between these two organizations for a long time. But we tried to bring some clarity to see what we believe based on God's word being true, knowing that God can't lie and he can't change, and that his word says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And so, Lord, if you're saying one Lord, one faith, one baptism, why we have these two organizations doing it two different ways? And to come to a conclusion in that series, we pretty much said that at the time in Matthew, where Jesus was giving the disciples that charge to go, that later on in Acts, they were just doing what was actually revealed to them, what Jesus said in Matthew. The conclusion in all of that is that there is but one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and it's just a matter of God giving the revelation to those people or to those of us who don't clearly understand what he's saying at that point. And that is a very, very, very good lesson if you want to go back and listen to it, because when we talk about being baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, from my own personal experience and testimony, I went through getting baptized when I was very young at my mom's church, my church at that point. And at that point, you got baptized, not so much that they were teaching you to be baptized to let the world know your commitment to Christ, but just as a formality to join the church. So, you know, after a message or a service, they always put the chairs out, and, you know, at that point they said they were opening up the doors of the church, anybody wanted to be a member, you came to join the church, And then as becoming a member of the church, it was required for you to be baptized. And so at a young age, my understanding of it was that was something that I did to be baptized, not really knowing what it was really representing, really what I was doing. But later on in life, God really gave me a revelation about what I was doing and how important it was to symbolize my commitment to Him through baptizing and doing what Jesus did and giving us an example on how we were supposed to do it. We also touched on in some of our teaching, is it absolutely necessary for you to get baptized, or if somebody is not baptized, can they go to heaven? And we went on the premise of the thief on the cross, where Jesus said that he would be with him in his kingdom that day when they were being crucified, that we don't have any biblical reference to say that the thief had been baptized. But the conclusion from that discussion was, you know, because of God's grace and God's mercy, he can get you to heaven, let's keep it simple, get you to heaven whatever way necessary, but at the time that we are exposed to information and that we know or are taught more, then we should do more and do better. I couldn't say that, you know, if you didn't get baptized, you weren't going to heaven, because that's solely up to God. And then given different circumstances, different situations, we even talked about deathbed confessions. What about people who are, you know, sick, and at the last minute they give their life to the Lord, that we're not baptized? Are they not going to heaven because they didn't get baptized? God forbid, we're not saying that. But our conclusion in that lesson was, once you know, then you are accountable for that information that you know. And because of God's mercy and His grace, we're not saying that you can't make it to heaven if you haven't been baptized. But once you've been exposed to the revelation and teaching of it, then you are held accountable for it, and therefore you should do what Jesus did for us, an example, and showed us what it should be. And then going on forward from that, we had some questions that we talked about, and it was very in-depth, deep teaching and discussion regarding, we had personal testimonies about people who gave their experience to being baptized, and we tried to answer some questions to help explain why it's important to be baptized. And then we did have a question that we spent some time covering on when it was absolutely necessary for somebody to be baptized. And we know that most yes.
I was going to say, I wanted to give this some. This came to me yesterday, and it's going along with what you were saying when you came to, like, the deathbed confession and you know, the last minute confession. I was sitting there, and I began to think about something. I started thinking about my dad, and I remembered when he passed away, one of the things that I had an aunt, and she was an evangelist over there at Christ Temple, and I saw her in the grocery store shortly after my father had passed, and I remember, and it may even have been some years after that. It must have been some years after that, because my dad died when I was 12, and this was after I had even, you know, was over at Cathedral Praise, so this was some years after that. But anyway, I saw her, and we were talking, and she was telling me how that my dad was scheduled to get baptized that Sunday before he passed. And mm-hmm. she was talking about that, and then it caused me to remember what the chaplain had said, told my mom, told us, you know, as a family, about those final moments of my dad and how he was able to lead him to Christ. And so, and that kind of sparked all of that when I was thinking about, you know, the deathbed confession and still not being baptized, having the opportunity to be baptized. And so, mm-hmm. but I do believe that, you know, even with that, my father didn't make it to heaven, and so we'll make it, you know, he's going to be in heaven. But as somebody had said, used to be they would say things like that, you know, sometimes the Lord will call people on home, and while he's got them, and I'm gonna put this out there as a question, is this something that, what do we think about this? Because they say, you know, while he's got them in that moment, he takes them on because maybe later on they would not, you know, they would fall back. And so what do you all think about that?
Well, absolutely. There's a couple of things when listening to you tell about your father that we need to touch on. God is sovereign. He's in charge, and he can do whatever he wants to do. And because of his love for us, the way they taught us is if you got to the point where you were really saved, as what we would say, and that your heart was right, that the Lord would take you at that moment to make sure that your fate in eternity was sealed, because he's all knowing, and instead of giving you or leaving you here and possibly death catching you when your heart wasn't ready, that because it was ready at that point and he's sovereign and in control and knows all things, that he would take you then. That's kind of what I remember us being taught. So I believe that God is God, and he can do, I mean, he knows everything. And so if he chooses to do that, then thank God for that. But in those particular situations, it's by his mercy and his grace that he's going on and taking them so they can be in heaven with him. But we're talking, you know, not but weirder, but in other, a lot of, more often than not, I say, that those of us that are still here or that live longer lives, when we're exposed to the information, then we need to walk in it.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, this is my own personal experience, because, you know, that Randy and I raised our children in the church. That's all they knew. That's all we taught them. Of course, you know, they stray away and do stuff. But like when my daughter Ebony had passed, you know, of course there were questions in my mind, but I knew that the Lord had took her, allowed her to be taken. And let me tell you, I had a dream that confirmed it, that the Lord, I was dreaming, and I was sitting next to her in her car, and we were just laughing and talking, and then I smelled gas fumes. At the time, I didn't even realize, that it was the car that she had, her car. And I smelled strong gas fumes in this dream, and I said, Ebony, I said, girl, what are you doing? You still back doing the same mess you were doing. You still back doing the same mess that you were doing. Then when I woke up, I thought, Lord, what was that? And the Lord allowed me to know. The Lord let me know that he takes them when he got them, because evidently she was going to hit some other stuff down the road that would have took her further and further away from God. And Randy and I had already declared over their lives, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So he just kind of allowed one to go early so he could have her and keep her, because she wasn't going to do right. I'm just sorry. She wasn't doing right, and the Lord showed me that in a dream. And then another dream I had, and I don't mean to take up all the time, I remember we were outside the house, and I said, Randy, I said, we can't get in. And so I said, let's throw some rocks up on the window so the kids can know that we're there. I was aware of Jessica and Philip being there, and we were throwing the rocks like, come open the door. But as I threw a rock up, Ebony sat straight up. She sat straight up. She had her hospital gown on, and her mouth was taped with masking tape. And I said, oh, my God, somebody has them. And we just came through, and we kind of got in the house. And when we got up to the stairs, we didn't see her. We didn't see the children or anything. And then when I woke up, I said, Lord, what did this mean? And the Lord allowed me to see. He said she was bound up, you know, with the masking tape over her mouth, but now she's free. See, God knows every heart. He knows every situation, and he knows how to deal with people, you know. And I just thank the Lord for, like you said, he's sovereign. I know people may disagree with me about this point, but I remember there was something back when I was younger, and I said, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna go on and do it. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "Don't you do it. Don't you go against my will." He said, "Because if you do, you'll never come back. You'll never get back." And I thought, I said, "God is merciful, and He is good, and He's kind, and He is, and He will allow a person to come back to Him if they've fallen from His grace or whatever." But I understand now what God meant. My personality and the way that I am and the way that I, I get into these, if I feel like I've done something wrong, I get into this deep guilt thing. And, you know, I'm not saying that God wouldn't allow me to come back, but that's what he certainly spoke to me and said, you wouldn't come back. I just knew. And I see, I guess the reason why I saw that was because my son, you know, he was beating himself up. Oh, but I felt God. I felt God. I said, no, you haven't. And he just kept on and on. And I saw within myself, I said, he's like me. Just can't let stuff go and let God. And I know God has done it for him. But I just, for that instance, God reminded me, you know, everybody's different. And so the Lord allowed me to see that, you know, he took Ebony because of the way she was, and he showed me how I am. And so, you know, I guess people feel like that may not be true, but Denise, I definitely agree. When God got them, let them go on. So when I was talking to her friends, and it was a hard saying, and I think I may have even mentioned this before when we were talking about the grief and stuff, but this is what I told them. I said, yes, Ebony's gone, and she is, but I'd rather see her gone now than to live to be 99 years old and die and go to hell. And it was a hard saying for them, but I said it and I meant it. So I do believe, I'm sorry for taking up so much time, but I do believe that God will take some people while he got them because of the purpose that he had for them, you know? Yeah. And he said the prayer over her life. So that's just my testimony.
There's a couple of things I've been listening to you. I just want to share real quickly that came to me. One, I'll start with this one. I'm not going to call no names, but we know who they are. That they sing a song, Except What God Allows. And in the beginning of that song, the person is questioning God, why did you take those members? Them were good ones. And he said the Lord told them because they were ready.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he took them. So is God leaving those of us who are still here to give us an opportunity to make sure that we're ready so we can make it in? He saw them. The other the scenario that came to my mind is think about a woman that's pregnant. Now, typically, if we go textbook, it's the conception is then 9 months later, the baby's born. But there are those rare cases when the doctor will say the baby is too big for the environment or ready to come out prior to the 9 months. We're going to have to induce this labor and take the baby and bring it here before you had planned on it being here in order to save the baby. I mean, we can put it that way, that God knows what's best for everybody.
Yes.
In my own assumption, and I this is one thing that I cannot say yes to, but in my heart I believe, like I said, my children were raised in church, and they knew God, and they know him now. And I just believe within my heart, because of the things that she would say to people, if I don't quit doing this, I'm going to die. She told people, I got to get out of this. But the thing that I just feel like in my heart, I do, because my children love the Lord. I know it. And I believe she said, Lord, I don't want to die, and I don't want to go to hell. And if I can't get out of this, would you just take me? And I just believe that, and that's just me. And I may be wrong, but I feel like that in my heart. I really do. So
no,
there are people that long, they are so bound. And Jesus died so we wouldn't be bound. But like I said, with my attitude and the way that I am, you know, some people just, you know, felt like they couldn't get out of it. So some people long to be with the Lord. So I'm going to step out, and you can comment.
Well, one thing I think I wanted to say this real quick, because I was thinking about when you were talking about your personality and how that the Lord told you not to go in that direction. But I always think about Peter. And, you know, when Peter had denied Christ three times, and he had went away, you know, but then Jesus specifically told them, go get the disciples, and he called him specific, and Peter, because he already knew how Peter was feeling, and that Peter probably wouldn't have come, because Peter felt like he had done such a wrong situation, had a wrong deed, that he wouldn't have come. So God specifically called his name and said, go get the disciples and Peter, so that Peter would know that I still want you. And that always reminds me that, and I know this kind of got off our subject, but it reminds me that how much God loves us and how much he wants us. He said it is his desire that we all come to repentance. So it's not his desire for any of us to be lost.
Amen.
Well, we can't allow the enemy to deceive us, because most of us think that death is the end. But when we're talking about baptism, we can't just stop there. We the death, burial, and the resurrection. Don't forget that.
Alive.
Right. So it ain't that you just die. That's the end.
Glory to God, but you live again.
Yeah. I think something happened. He kind of dropped off. I think his line cut off. But, yeah, so when he was talking about those, he says the death is not the end point, because it said that in the baptism, this is what symbolized the death, the burial, and the resurrection. So all three of those are symbolized in that baptism, during that baptism. So we have to think about it, that just death is not our end stop. That's why Jesus, what did he say? He said they are sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, because we will live again. When Christ comes back, we will get up, and whether we're dead, whether we're here still on earth, or if we're dead in Christ, he said we will rise up, and so we will live again. And so those are the things that we have to be joyful about. And I think sometimes people get so caught up about living now that they think that death is a bad thing, but it's really not. I remember even Ebony coming to me, and we're talking about, I don't want to keep talking about that, but her coming to me and telling me when my mother passed, that she came and told me, she said, the Lord told me that she's at peace now and she's no longer hurting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I told her that, to tell me that, to comfort me at that time. And I thank the Lord for that. So I'm just saying that God is, like you said, God is sovereign, and he knows all. And I always think about my dad when I was just thinking about that, and how that, you know, the Lord took him while he had him. And he might have been scheduled to get baptized the next week, but the Lord went on and took him home anyway, and took him right on into the kingdom. So I'm thankful for that.
You know, what I look at in this, and I believe it touches point on the question that you asked, the scripture that says man looks on the outward appearance, but God, the intent of the heart,
mm-hmm.
He knows our heart.
Yes.
And He knows what we are tempted by. He know what we're He knows what we're sensitive to, and He knows our weaknesses. And if He feels strongly that we're about to turn, and He has us, well, He knows. You know, the scripture says, when you're gone from the earth, you're present with the Lord. So if He knows He has to take you away to save you, there was a situation with Paul. They had a question, the church had a question, and asked Paul about a boy that kept on falling, having sexual things with his mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul said, let him go, that his soul might be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Is what he told the church. So in conclusion to that question that you asked, I believe that the Lord will, because He knows the heart
mm-hmm.
of that person. If He feels that He needs to take you before you're lost, thank God He does. Amen?
Yes, amen. That's
merciful.
A blessing. And merciful. That's what I was just getting ready to say. He's merciful. And we thank God for that, because He doesn't have to. He could throw us to the side and just say, well, no, you just lost, and that's it. But He doesn't do that. He continues to be merciful. And one of the things, one of the stories in the Bible that I thought about, too, was that one story in the Bible, since we're talking about deathbed confessions and, you know, whether, you know, baptism played into their making it into heaven. He talked about the story of the workers, of the laborers, and how, you know, he had been hiring laborers all throughout the day. But that 11th hour laborers, those that came in at the 11th hour, how they were still paid the same wages as those that had been there all day.
Mm-hmm.
That displays His mercy as well.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So I thought about that particular thing as being somebody that, you know, they might have came in at the 11th hour, but God gave them the same blessing that He gave those that had been there all along.
Amen.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I mean, there is something. It made me think about the deathbed experiences of those that accepted Christ, that last hour.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, we know God is merciful.
Yeah.
Oh, we just believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And mercy alone.
I was going to say, you mm-hmm. shared several stories of with us of times where you've had to lead people to Christ, and then, you know, then after that, they went on to glory.
Yeah, and God orchestrated it, you know, for me to be there at that appointed time.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like that it was God's prayer of moms and grandparents and whatever that God gave them an opportunity.
May I say those,
yes,
for those that are listening or that will listen, you know, we thank God for His mercy and His grace, and it does abound. It really does. But I would admonish someone not to play games. You know, now is the time to accept the Lord and to go on and get baptized and do what God has called you to do while you can think about it. I thank God for the people that He was merciful for, merciful to, and led them and allowed them, and He took them on and all that. But for those that can,
yes,
now is an acceptable year of the Lord.
Yes. And that is so true. We can't, just because you feel like you can, that you have time. You don't. We don't know how what kind of time we have. And while the gospel is being presented, you need to eat of it at that point, because it is being presented to us in so many different ways. And if God is allowing you to be in a place where they are preaching the gospel, and you have an opportunity to give your life to the Lord. As Sister Dawson said, it is the, this is the acceptable time. Because we can't say, oh, I got time. We don't know what kind of time we got, because our days are numbered. That's what we have to know, that our days are numbered. And he knows, and we have to understand that. We're talking about God. We're not operating on our own time. We're operating on his time. And so he has a time where he's going to do what he has to do in each and every one of our lives.
It reminds me of the story in the Bible for the, I assume he was rich, and he was building his barns, right? And I guess the barns got too small. He built another barn, you know, to make sure he had plenty. But then that night, he was called home, you know. So you might prepare for earthly needs, but you got to make sure that your soul is ready to leave here.
Elder Russell, in that story that you're talking about, you know, he sat back and said, "Ha, I got everything together." But
didn't
they say he was a fool?
Yeah,
because this soul will be required. So don't do something foolish, thinking you got time, because you don't know.
Don't know. We strive so hard to obtain so much on this earth. You know, material things, education, whatever. I mean, it's okay. But the most important thing, sometimes we neglect, oh, I'll get to that. But you may not get to that. You know what I mean? You may not have that opportunity. So I encourage those that I'm around, including my patients, you do it right now. You can't wait till tomorrow.
Can't wait till tomorrow.
I promise to anybody.
And we have to know that God is that important, because that's why he tells us. He tells us to store up our treasures in heaven, not on earth, because on earth is where raw, you know, moss and rust and all that can eat away at it. But our treasures that we store up in heaven, they can't be eaten away. They're eternal.
Right.
And he said thieves on that.
Yeah.
If you leave it on, if you count it up on the earth, the thieves will get to it.
That's right.
They sure will. But they can't get to that that's in heaven. Once you got treasure in heaven, you got treasure.
Amen. You know, we think that the scripture that says no man knows the day nor the hour that the Son of God shall come deals with, you know, the rapture or when he's actually coming back. But, you know, it deals, too, with his time.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said before, his time is not our time. And you do not know when your time is.
Mm-mm.
So it would behoove you to do the right thing and get closer to God. Amen?
Mm-hmm. That's so true. That is so true. I remember years ago I had this dream when I was really seeking God, and I was on this huge field, and it was many people there, and we looked up, and there were angels with backpacks on. And when I looked up, my thought was they're coming to get us. And this lady ran to me, and she was so fearful. She said to me, they're coming. She said, have you accepted Christ? Have you accepted Christ? I said, I don't know if I've accepted Christ. And I'm saying, And then I woke up. And then it came to me, you know, we need to know.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know without a shadow of a doubt. We need to know that he lives in our heart, that we have accepted him, and that we believe. I tell my patients when I talk to them, they say, when we come to that, you know, are you going? I think I am. I believe I am. I said, no. I said, you need to know that you're going. I said, I'm a savior. I know that I'm going. That's what you need to do, is know. If there's something in your past that's causing you to waver like that, you get rid of it.
That's why I think it's important. You know, Paul said, made a statement, and actually said, we die daily. So, and I take that to mean that's why we always have to repent. We have to repent daily. Repentance is just not a one-time thing. It's something we have to do on a daily basis. Still keep things that before the Lord, and that's why, you know, the old mothers used to pray, you know, Lord, forgive me of sins of omission and sins of commission. They were covering it all, since things known and unknown. You know, they covered it all to make sure that, you know, they had gotten everything covered. And so we have to continue to do that on a daily basis so that we can continue, first of all, to grow, make sure that we got things right with the Lord, and that we also are growing and maturing to understand that, you know, we still do things, we still have things that are may not just be just right, but, you know, but the Lord knows that our heart is right. And so we strive to do the right things every day, but we still might have some things. You might have thought a wrong thought. You might have. So I always pray. I always say, Lord, forgive me of sins of the heart, the soul, the mind. I just go through the whole thing and make sure I'm not covered.
And, you know, Elder, that has to do with that repentant heart. He will in no wise cast out.
Thank you.
But he'll welcome you.
Go ahead.
I said, but he'll welcome you in.
He'll welcome us in. And so, you know, we're still talking about baptism, but we kind of got, you know, went to a different level because we began to talk about, you know, deathbed confessions and, you know, not being able to be baptized. Is that person still going to heaven with, you know, without...
Mm-hmm.
Going through that particular act, and we believe that God is merciful, and yes, they can go to heaven, but that doesn't mean that's what we're supposed to. Yeah, that we're not supposed to wait. That's just something that happens. That, you know, God is merciful enough to that person that while they have the opportunity, that they take them on the glory, so that they can be, their souls will not be lost. But that is not what all of us have the opportunity to do, and so therefore, when the opportunity for salvation is presented, we need to accept it and go with it at that time. And so if we get back to talking about other things about baptism, you know, people are saying, well, all that's not necessary. But there were so many times it just wasn't with Jesus' baptism. He wasn't on that. Jesus was our example of what we are to do. But there were many, 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 many stories in the Bible where baptism took place, and each time, like even in Acts 2, in verse 41, it says 3,000 were baptized after believing on the first day of the Christian church. So that was the first day of the Christian church. If you look at Acts 2, verse 38, 39, all the way through 41, it talks about that. And then even in Acts 8, 26 through 39, it says, and we know that where this road from Jerusalem to Gaza is, verse 26 says, turns into desert. The only water there was an oasis, but this means that the church and Philip climbed down into the people drinking water to do this, and apparently Philip and the eunuch did not think it could wait until later, so he baptized him right then. And so and we have to think about the word baptism. I know some people say, well, you can be sprinkled on, you can do, but the word baptized does mean immersion. And so if that's what the Lord called it, then we have to understand that that's the direction that he really would have for us to go. And I know we don't immerse infants in water and things like that, so they, when they christen them, they do sprinkle. But anyway, and then if you look at Acts 9 and 18, where it talks about after the Paul's encounter or Saul's encounter on the Damascus Road, and then it says he was later renamed Saul, but even him, he was baptized. He had an encounter with Jesus, and then he got baptized. And then Cornelius and all of them with him were commanded to be baptized, becoming the first non-Jewish converts to create Christianity. And Lydia and her household over in Acts 16 believed and were baptized. And then the Philippian jailer believed, and with his household, and they were baptized. And so it just goes on and on to tell us countless stories of those that were baptized. So baptism is necessary. It is a part of our Christian heritage, and so those are things we should do. And then we also have to consider Galatians 3:26-27. It says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." And so just all of these scriptures, and then, of course, Ephesians 4:4-6 says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you are created in one hope of your calling, the Lord, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." So it's just so many scriptures that references to it. And if we want to talk about, well, whether I should or should not do it, always reference the Word of God, because that is our blueprint for life. And I'm going to be quiet so that the other elders can go on and talk, continue on their journey. I see Elder Poston is back on the line as well.
That was very well said. Do we have any more questions? The hour's drawing near.
It is drawing near. I tell you, our time goes so fast. We have about 8 minutes in our hour, and I'm telling you, it goes so fast. But we're always so thankful just to share this hour in the Word of God, and it's just I'm just always excited about it for myself. I was going to ask. There was a question that I saw, and I thought it was a very interesting question. I had it right there, and then I started shuffling those papers, and I mixed it
Why are you looking for the question, Elder Bryson? I just want to kind of say one thing to anybody who's out there listening. You know, what we're trying to do is give you, we're trying to do like Jesus did, and we're trying to give you modern-day parables and examples so that you can relate to what the Word of God is saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we haven't ran scripture from A to Z, but we're giving you testimonies, we're giving you scripture debate to support what we're saying, but we want you to get a basic foundational understanding. And if you have a question, you are obligated to diligently seek the answer to that. And God being who God is, if you don't know nothing else about him other than that he's God, the creator of the universe, him being who he is, if you have a sincere desire to know the truth, he will reveal it to you.
Amen.
Amen. And I think with that being said right there, I think at this point we will do our invitation to Christ. If Elder Poston, if you would go on and do that, and then we'll do that right now, because I feel like we're at that point where we need to invite somebody to Christ and lead them to him.
Okay. If you're listening, my invitation to you is to introduce you to somebody who created you and has a purpose and a plan for your life. And just by the mere fact that you're listening or you even inquiring, I have any kind of question about God, that means that he's trying to get you to reveal something to you. Now, you know, I'm not going to tell you that once you give your life to Christ, then it's going to be all sunshine and white picket fence and butterflies and all of that kind of stuff. There are a lot of joy, a lot of blessings that God gives us, but there are those times that we have to go through the press and the trying and the testing. But the thing that makes us able to stand through that is because we know who God is and know who God called us to be. I cannot imagine in the world that we're living today how we live day to day without a relationship with God. There is so much craziness and chaos in the world. Now, instead of you going and reaching for the pill bottle or reaching for the alcohol bottle or whatever you use to try to medicate yourself, I am offering to you Jesus Christ that can take care of all of the things that you deal with. I often say, when God gave me this, whatever you go through, it'll be for your good and for God's glory. God loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son just for you. You are special. You are created for purpose and on purpose and for death. And if you would like to give your life to the Lord, it's as simple as confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin, that he died, was buried, and God resurrected him from the dead. If you believe that in your heart and you give your heart over to God, then the Bible says you are saved. You are saved means that you have began the process to walk out your destiny in God. And I will pray with you, and we pray that if that is you today, that you've given your life to Christ, that we're praying that God will give you a hunger and a desire to seek after him. God, we pray, oh Lord God, that you give us an ear. Give them an ear to hear your voice, oh Lord God. Lord God, in any of the confusion of the thoughts that the enemy tries to send to their mind, Lord God, give them clarity of thought. Father God, lead and guide them and direct them, oh Lord God. You said, Lord, in your word, with loving kindness have you drawn them. Lord God, and we stand on your word. We thank you, God, for each and every soul that has surrendered to you today. And we thank you even, Lord God, for those souls that are still kind of wrestling, God. Because as long as the wrestling is going on, God, we know that there's something in them and that you are still pulling them toward you, God. We ask you to bless them and bless everything that's connected to them, Lord God. Give them divine wisdom and understanding of your word, Lord God. Because, Father, you said in the beginning of your word that we were created in your image and in your likeness, God. And if we don't know who you are, God, then we cannot know who we are, God. Lord, give us divine revelation. Lord God, seal and save us and baptize us with the Holy Ghost and then infill us with the Holy Ghost that we might have power, God, to do what you have called us to do. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you, Lord, for every soul that is committed or even just seeking to find out who you are, God. Add to your kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Well, we thank each and everyone for being on the broadcast today, everybody that participated. I always plead the blood of Jesus over their lives, that the Lord would keep them in every way they go, and that he would bless their week and that their lives, and that that the Lord would do exceedingly abundantly above all that they can even ask or think, and that the Lord would continue to enrich their lives better and pour blessings upon them that they don't even have room to receive. We thank God for that. And so I'm so thankful for that, and I continue to pray for those that participate. I keep you in prayer so that the Lord will cover you, that God will cover you, and he will keep you safe from all hurt, harm, and danger, and keep his angels encamped around about you. So I'm thankful for that. Thank you for everyone that is listening to this broadcast, all of those that called in, those that are logged in, and even those that will listen later. We thank you for your support. We thank you for your tuning in to listen to this broadcast, to this awesome teaching from the men and women of God that are on the line, and we thank God for each and every one of them. And we're going to close out today. I'm going to ask Elder Russell if she would pray us out, and we will be back here next week on The Prospering Soul with our next new topic. So God bless each and every one of you.
Father, we so thank you for this precious day, to be able to just bring your word to your people, oh God. We pray today, oh God, that your word does not go out void today, Lord Jesus. We ask that it hits on good ground, Father, that it grows to such an extreme, Father, that they begin to search for you, seek and search your knowledge today, God. I ask you, oh God, to bless those that were on the broadcast today, Father, and those that are in the audience, Father. And Father, may that word hit them in such a mighty way that they turn from their ways and begin to serve you today, Father. Bless us this week, Father. Bless us as we go about doing our daily activities and our jobs, Father. Let us not, O God, neglect your precious word, O God. The powerful word that's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the son of our marrow and bone, Father. Let us, oh God, take heed to your word, Father. And we thank you so much today, Father. Thank you so much, Father. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We thank everybody for participating today. You have been listening to the Prospering Soul broadcast. This is a part of our foundation series, and we are wrapping up our baptism, water baptism series. And we thank you for listening in. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. In Jesus' name, amen. Bye-bye.
Amen.
Bye.
Amen.